It's indeed an honour to have two of the Winks owners in our OB van. Debbie Kapitas, good morning to you, Debbie.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm well. And Peter Tai, well, you were out here earlier this morning. Good morning to you.
Yeah, to you too, Andrew.
You're out here. It's remarkable, some of this stuff. I guess you've got used to doing it, but you stood out there for about 45 minutes this morning and you were patiently waiting for a three-minute cross.
I don't think it was 3 minutes, Andrew. It was more like about 35 seconds. But anyway, it's
all a part of it.
Mate, if it helps promote racing, yeah. You know, we love racing, and if we can give back a bit to what it's given us, I'm certainly more than happy to do so.
For sure.
Oh, Deb, absolutely. There's nothing better than racing. So if you can put it on the front page, that's what you want.
Exactly. The one thing I learned yesterday, Debbie, from the Australian Turf Club is memberships that have now got a waiting list, and they're putting a lot down to Winks. People have become members so they can get into the big days. But they can see through that the young brigade have become members. Under 35, under 25, they've really come into memberships of the ATC. And then you get the young kids that come today and wave those blue and white flags.
Oh, look, that's exactly what we need in racing. We had that demographic was missing through no fault of racing, but that with all the social media and everything that came on board, that generation didn't have to get to the races to see it all. So they didn't learn the experience. Winks has been able to draw them to the races to learn.
Yeah.
It's much better being here live, seeing it. So that's brilliant that she's done that.
Yeah.
And racing can carry on with it now. You know, we've been very fortunate. So it's great to think that a longevity of a horse like Winks, through the great care that's been given to her, that is giving back to racing.
Yeah, it is. I was really surprised. I mean, today, the ticket sales are up 50, 60% on last year. So, you know, they're going to get... You know, more than 10,000 doesn't sound a lot, but at this time of the year, it is a lot, given that I think most people are thinking, I want to go one day or 2 days. If everything works out, it's the Queen Elizabeth. Who knows with horses? So we really tell people, come out today and enjoy it, because you never know.
That's exactly right. We can't guarantee that she's definitely going to run in the Queen Elizabeth, and, you know, it'll be up to her if she's... if she's healthy enough to get through to that fourth start, but it's her first. So, I mean, whatever is best in the interests of Winks, you know, if she gets through today, everything goes as we hope it goes, she'll go through quite a process of examination and checking and through the vets, through Chris Waller, you know, Hugh Bowman's input. So, yeah, no, there's a whole lot that goes on, and then, you know, get the all clear probably, you know, if everything was to go up by the middle of next week, to know that we're going to go on to another race. So.
Yeah.
That's it. It's all about Winks' welfare.
I loved last Saturday morning. We were at Warwick Farm for Inglis Day. So we were there, but we covered the gallop down here, down the straight. But what I loved when I got off air and I could see a bit more about it was just the mums and dads who brought the young kids who were hanging over the fence. I mean, Debbie, you interviewed over the fence. I've never seen it before. Debbie, you were interviewing a lady from Camden.
Camden, yeah.
I think it was Ruth. I'm going off memory here, but from Camden. I mean, even Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, 7 a.m., attracted people here with Winks.
Oh, absolutely. And it was funny, as I was asking different people questions about why they're there and all of that, this young kid said, well, my dad bought me out.
Yeah.
We love Winks, but Dad said we'll go out and see her so you can see her a little bit closer and just see the physicality of her. And talking to Dad, it's really made me well up, because Dad was a Lonro and Octagonal fan.
Yeah.
And he'd been involved in that. And as he said to his boys, you know, like, and he was young then, he said, we've just got to get you there, because that's what I remember. And to have him to have seen Lonro and Octagonal, it was just so lovely, because, you know, Dad and Jack were very receptive to everybody. They loved the fact that people took those two horses to their heart and went, you know, they did as much as they could. Whereas now with social media, there's so much more hype. You don't have to do anything to really
it's
get
automatic.
The involvement.
Yeah.
So it was just a lovely moment that some of the crowd were there, and it was older racing fans as well as those young kids.
It is. It's magic. You see it on race day, and we'll see it today with the young kids waving the flags. But to see them here last Saturday morning, hanging over the fence on a non-race day, there's not a huge crowd, but there was hundreds here having a look at her. I mean, it tells us just how big it's become, Pete.
Well, kids sitting on their dad's shoulders. I mean, you don't get any more Aussie than that, waving a flag.
Were you surprised? Were you blown away?
Yeah, really. It's early morning. I mean, it's you know, to get kids out that early, I suppose, isn't, you know, the easiest thing these days. But a lot of the kids wanted to come, and there was a particular couple that came up, and the gentleman involved told me that he and his wife had driven 6 hours to get there Saturday morning because his wife was such an avid Winx fan, and he was happy to come with her. You know, like, they're just, like, I you know, appreciate what they do and what she's done for racing and people in general, but, yeah, they're amazing stories. I don't know if I'd have driven 6 hours to watch Black Caviar, but...
Yes, you would. You
know, we flew down to Melbourne to do it, so that's pretty similar. It's not... we didn't drive 6 hours, but we did go. Yeah.
But just in the numbers that are coming, I mean, that was... Yeah. And they had a sausage sizzle on it. I'll tell you how popular it was. It all finished, and I said to Patty, my wife, I said, come on, we'll nip down here and get a sausage. Got down there, all gone.
All gone. All,
that's how popular it was.
Yeah.
Couldn't get a sausage.
No, it is. Look, I find it fantastic, particularly with the young kids, because that's where we need to nurture. I was doing an interview last night on Melbourne Radio, just talking. Everyone wants to talk about Winx and get how she's going and the like, but haven't we had an array of stars in our time? I mean, you look at Maccabi Diva for mine, you get Black Caviar because Maccabi won 3 Melbourne Cups for the record. But in the last 20 or 30 years, and maybe it's a bit longer than that now, but the array of constant stars that we've had, Debbie.
And not only stars, other horses have taken people's hearts.
Yeah.
You know, like you look at old Barry, who shot the barman.
Yeah.
He had a great following because he kept stepping it up.
Yep.
And you've got Happy Clapper.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like you've got a real cult following from him.
Yeah.
And that's what we need. We need that in racing because it inspires people to come along.
Yep.
And you want people to come for the animal and see how beautiful they are and how they enjoy what they're doing.
Yep.
That's important because, yeah, yes, the punters come. The punters will always come or the punters will always be involved.
Regulars, yeah.
They will because that's the adrenaline they get.
Yep.
And we still want them to be interested and we still want them coming along. But it's people that don't have that interest that you need to nurture and bring along. So yeah, it's great to have horses that everyone can follow, and star horses are the best.
Yeah, exactly. We've been talking this morning about the stall number where Winx is today, stall 108. We've been promoting this morning because it does these new race day stalls. There's such a huge area down there where people can walk and get so close and be a part of. I remember must have been the last Chautauqua, whenever Chautauqua got retired, and they brought the Grey Flash here and didn't race. It was just in the stall area, and people just wanted to get their photos and things with them. It is a part of it, but stall 108 is the one where Winx is. And then Tom Melbourne, we understand, is right beside, and he goes in back to front, Pete.
Yeah, no, Tommy, he's a crowd favourite.
I mean,
he's a... You know, and it's not about, it just goes to show, it's not about coming here and winning all the time. And, you know, that poor old fella tries his heart out, has done. And, you know, and people admire the effort that he puts in and what he does. And it, like I said, so it's not about coming in, you have to win every time. It's people get something to follow and be it the Happy Clapper, the Winx, the, you know, all the way back to Maccabi Diva and
Sunline and all Sunline, those. They've been good. When I put it, I tweeted out yesterday on the Twitter that I was going to have you in, and I got a couple of people saying, what are you going to ask them? Is there anything new you can ask them? And for about the next 15 minutes, I'm thinking, actually, there isn't anything new. But there is one. There is one outside the obvious of when she's going to retire or something like that. Have you decided what stallion she'll go to?
Nope. No, you don't decide that until you really need to.
Okay.
And that's not going to be an easy decision.
No.
And I think there'll be a lot of chatting going on when that happens.
Yeah. Well,
we haven't even discussed it. So no, it's funny as that sounds. Like we haven't even. You've asked that question.
Yeah.
And it's probably the most asked question that we get now.
Now is it?
But
yeah.
Richard
and I
Debbie
thought
and
I'd
I
come up with a new question.
Oh no, no, but not like in the people that we meet. Yeah. You know, whether a lot of people outside the media that ask us that question. But you know, there's me, there's Paddy, there's Debbie and Richard, and we haven't even broached that subject because it's just important to us to get this program out of the way and just have some time, like we did after the Cox Plate. We had some free time and clear the air, and that decision, whether she was going to race into this program, you know, it took a lot of time, and we had a couple of meetings with Chris and Huey and all got together, and Richard, via phone link, phoned in when we were in Melbourne, and it was funny because we were discussing, you know, whether we should go again or what we should do, and we came up with the decision not to make a decision.
Okay,
so
just leave it.
We said, well, let's get Christmas out of the way. Let's do some of the normal things. Let's not preempt too much. And that was the best thing, you know. Even sitting there with Chris, he said, "That's a bloody good decision. A decision not to make a decision, and then come and see us in the new year, and we'll know more when she's had a holiday." Yeah. So it worked out really well.
Yeah. And it let her show us how she felt, rather than saying this is what we're doing and then regretting saying it.
Yeah.
She was able to say it. And it would have been just as easy if she had said, I'm finished.
Yeah.
We'd have just retired her.
Everyone, and because of the way she is and where she is, everyone hangs off any word that anyone says, isn't it? I mean, if you utter a word, then that's going to go everywhere. That is literally everywhere, isn't it? So you do have to be careful, you know, in regard because of how big she has become. Am I right there?
You are. I just think it's interesting because as we've gone along, and Chris Waller would always say, you know, you don't get taught how to handle all this. So because he's been doing it a bit longer than us, it was interesting in the early days. I very much watched him and what he said. So he always, answered a question with a question or did it so that he wasn't committing. And he used to give valid reasons like that, you know, like race clubs, you know, promote and it doesn't work out, or people want to nominate their horse and you say, oh, I'm definitely going there. And people say, well, I'm not going to nominate for that. And then you don't go.
Yeah.
You throw a lot of things out of kilter. No. So, you know, Chris is very measured in the way that he did it. And that's sort of as I've watched personally, just thinking, well, you know, he's good. And if he carries it like that, we don't want to overstep the mark either and say things that he's not, you know, saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, Debbie, no, you've always got to be measured with horses because you just don't know.
You don't know. You don't know. And that's why we urge people to get out here on these days, because you never know. You never know what, you know, we're thinking Queen Elizabeth, but who knows? Has the preparation been different for you, Debbie, and knowing that this is probably the last? How have you felt about that? Have you given yourself time to think that this could be the last 2, 3, 4 runs?
Oh, look, I don't think I don't think about that until it actually happens, because.
Yeah. So how do you feel now about the first run today?
Oh, excited.
Yeah.
Nervous? The same feelings, very similar feelings that you always have.
Yeah.
No different, really.
Yeah.
You know, yes, she's older, so you're concerned about that. But watching her, going and seeing the gallop last Saturday and seeing how well she was, and then seeing her again on Thursday morning, you know that the horse is there. That's the important thing.
Do you look at her and do you notice anything different?
Oh, look, you notice little things, but look, I rely on everybody else. It's Candace and Umut that handle her every day will give you a little tweak on something. Or you've got Huey or the guys out at the farm when she spells. Yeah. They'll say different bits.
Yeah.
And, it makes you notice, but, oh, no.
She's winks and you look at her and she's winks.
Yeah, well, you look at her, you look at the coat, you look at to see that she still looks the way you've remembered.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
We've all got different emotions when a horse looms up and you look like you're going to win. Debbie, we know Debbie, the camera's always on Debbie and you're jumping and it's the moment, you're celebrating it, you know, and hopefully that happens again today. I don't reckon a camera's ever been on you, Peter. Have I got it right? What do you do when Winx is running?
Oh, look, I've just...
Do you stand in the crowd?
No, we stand down right on the rail. Paddy and I stand down there, right at the rail, outside rail, and watch it from there. And, we probably get excited in our own way. But, you know, I mean, I like to go over the line and then go off and kiss and hug and, you know, and if, whether it's... you know, Steph Waller or Christine Bowman. I mean, everyone's out for a hug. So, yeah, no, it's all exciting and great. And, yeah, no, it's like I said, I mean, I'd love it. I mightn't show it as much as everyone else or, you know, all do it differently.
You do.
But it's just such a great feeling of satisfaction and a relief, you know, that she's been able to come back and do it. And, and everything goes through your body at the same time. You know, like in some of those coming around the home turn here at Randwick sometimes, your heart's in your mouth. You don't know whether to smile or cry or, you know, I look at Patty, she looks at me, the horse is 10 lengths behind and
suddenly
you know,
she's three lengths in front.
And and that happens in such a small amount of time. You know,
it's 8 to 10 seconds.
Exactly. And it's just, you're thinking a million things. Yeah. How much you can process in 8 to 10 seconds is amazing. Yeah. Like, you'd like to be able to bottle it.
Oh, wouldn't you? What? Your family's been a part of racing. You've been a part of racing all your life. But to be a part of a horse like this, Winx, you've spoken about your father's horses, the Ingham's horses, that Lonrose and those. But to be able to stand down here today and hopefully watch it again and see her come back and things like that, we can see the adrenaline pumping from you once even the mare gets to the track today, probably.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Look, it's a deep-seated passion.
Yeah.
It's
in your body.
Yep. Yeah. It's just an amazing feeling. It's amazing to watch any horse that you've got a part of win.
Yeah.
They don't have to be Winxes. They don't have to be champions.
No.
You get very similar feeling. With Winx, there's a little bit more relief than with other horses. Because
after the winning post.
After she's gone past the post and you think, yes, she has won. There's a lot of relief in that because there are so many people so in love with her that just feel she's going to go on and do it. So fingers crossed for everything.
We can't take anything for granted because racing is racing. Tom Melbourne's there today. He could take it up and you just never know what Tom will do. Who knows? You know, it's one of those races and then you get Clapper coming back who has tried his heart out a few times with you. You've been able to beat him every time, but the Clapper's in good shape. So, look, it's another race today, isn't it?
You know? Oh, and you don't forget Pete's little girl, Unforgotten.
Unforgotten,
Could be a little dark horse too.
Yeah, exactly.
Not too dark, I hope.
No, not today. No. So, I've got to ask, because I had you on radio yesterday, and I must admit I got off and wanted the back performer down in Melbourne. You sounded keen on it, given onto a firm track today.
Yes, yeah, He's never performed well on a wet track, and he's been lucky to every time there's a spit of rain, he's racing. So, the early morning report this morning from Melbourne is a good four, and they're hopeful of an upgrade. So, he's going to get things to suit. He's got a tough race, but he's well drawn, good jockey, and we're hopeful. We also got a Dana in the same race, and he's been mooted by all the tipsters to be the give him a good run. But performer. I just think he's good odds, good value, and he's untapped potential. So
Mark Hunter and Dean Lester, our two Melbourne gurus, both tipped the Dana on top today. So we'll wait and see if they get it right, eh?
Well, they don't always get it right, so we'll just wait and see what happens. So, yeah.
Mate, and Deb, thank you for joining us. Thank you for both coming out a bit earlier now. You've got to hang around here for, we've still got 2 hours basically to the first race, but most sincerely from our audience, I do thank you for coming out, Pete.
No problem, but I've had a few calls from back home in Queensland and I've been asked that we don't forget the flood victims up in North Queensland. And they've been doing it pretty tough we've been in touch with a lot of people up there and we'd like to send a cheerio and tell them we're thinking of them. We'll be doing our best to give them something to cheer for. And also all the people out in Western New South Wales, like flooding in one area, bushfires in another.
Yeah,
so
it's ridiculous.
We'd like everybody to know that, we're thinking of them as well. And we'll hopefully give them a bit of cheer today and just give them something to do for a few minutes to get away from the hardships they're all facing.
Well, it's amazing through the years, isn't it? Racehorses back in the wartime, racing and things. People had to break away, Debbie, to horses that they had that different thing, and hopefully that may be the case today.
Absolutely.
No, echo those thoughts.
You see what they've been through up there, and then you see the fires, you see the drought, and I know we're a big country, but it just seems ridiculous to me how it...
Well, I'll tell you, if you've got a minute quickly, there's a story going on the news.
That
they went round to a place outside of Richmond to pick up a poor old fella. His name's Des Smith. His house was underwater.
Right.
And he was sitting on a chair by himself waiting for help. So the helicopter arrived, and he's sitting on a chair wearing a Winx cap.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
One of the first ones
we did. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, to get him to the helicopter, they've put him on the back of one of the rescuers, right. One of the policemen or whatever right. It is. And as he's got the helicopter, it's blowing off his Winx cap.
Oh.
And he's lost his Winx cap. So during the week, we've been lucky enough to find out that through the Richmond Police Station that some details of him. So right. We've sent him a pack up.
Oh,
so
fantastic.
We've sent some caps up for Des and the police and the helpers up there. So just little things like that.
Yeah,
you know, like it was really special for him. And he had his Winx cap and his dog was about all he got out with. So, you know, good luck to him up there. And hopefully that they're going to get through everything okay.
Well, we certainly sincerely do that. 10 to 4 is start time today. Good luck to you. I hope everything goes to plan. And then whatever happens after today, we'll worry about. But I hope everything goes to plan. And most sincerely from our listeners that hopefully got something out of the last 15, 20 minutes from you guys, I thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us on. It's a pleasure.
Thanks
and thanks for everybody loving Winxie.